The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, the Cabinet is meeting this morning. News Talk's political correspondent Sean Defoe is with me to run through what's expected. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Claire.
Before we come to Cabinet, let's talk about the Healey raise and that bombshell interview on Radio Kerry with Gerry O'Sullivan yesterday. More of a division there between the brothers than we possibly saw coming.
Oh, an extraordinary interview, 40-minute long interview, and well worth every bit of the listen if people want to go back and catch it today. And the gist of it is essentially Michael Healey-Rae saying that his brother Danny cost him a ministry, and that his criticism of Micheál Martin and Simon Harris and saying that they both needed to go as Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil leaders dragged him overboard, that he wasn't so much sacked by his own actions or anything else that happened, but rather really sacked by his brother, and something that was completely at odds with what he said when it happened. This, obviously, we'd had suspicions about this the day that he resigned, that it was, you know, the two-for-one deal when it came to votes, that they were a package together, and that Michael and his son Jackie, who was working with him, didn't really want to go, but Danny had made his position clear. And at the time, I remember asking Michael Healey-Rae about it when he came out of the Taoiseach's office that day, and he said, no, this is no, you know, Team Healey-Rae thing, this is the government letting people down. Obviously, that was putting a face on things, because he totally about-faced that yesterday.
Well, let's have a listen. I think it's worth just hearing one of these clips again. This is Michael Healey-Rae speaking to Gerry O'Sullivan yesterday, asked about that two-for-one deal and whether it existed. He gave this response.
Of course, the agreement was that when there would be no confidence motions, when there'd be important votes, that there'd be two Healey-Rae's. And this was the first political test, the hard test. And what happened? There was an interview with you that upset
Danny,
the whole thing.
Danny started the fire, you said, in Radio Kerry, and that's the reason you had to resign. But did you try and stay?
Like, we were on a ship. Did I jump overboard? I didn't jump over any board. I was pulled overboard.
You were pulled overboard by Danny?
I was pulled overboard by a situation. But I never said it wasn't.
Then when you look ahead, and Gerry O'Sullivan asked Michael Healey-Rae if political cooperation will continue with his brother Danny, he said reliability is everything to him.
Nobody can ever go saying what the future is going to bring. What I would say is reliability to me is everything.
And he's not reliable.
And being able to trust people is very, very important.
And you can't trust him now.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the facts are what happened. But all we have to do now is start again and try and regroup. The word I'd use is soul searching, and just trying to get on. And again, our bosses are the electorate.
Yeah, it's just fascinating, Sean, because that Healey-Rae thing was nothing short of an absolute machine, a vote-winning machine in Kerry. And where does it go from here?
That's the big question. And look, there's so many layers to this when you look at it. The word reliability, he kind of called that back to his father, to Jackie Healey-Rae, who he said was reliable and went with Bertie Ahern and went in and voted for cuts to pay for the likes of teachers and things that weren't unpopular, but he did it and he got stuff for the people of Kerry out of it as a result. And he was asked several times towards the end of that interview, look, is this the end between you and Danny? Is this it? Is there a fissure between the two of you? And he wouldn't go there and he wouldn't say it. And they've been so politically tied at the hip, down to, you know, that very famous map that first appeared at the 2016 general election, where they had colour-coded the entirety of Kerry, and they said, if you're in this part, vote number one for Michael, and if you're in this part, vote number one for Danny, and got 38% of the vote at that particular election in that constituency. The big question is, where does it go from here? There's obviously a rift between the two of them, and there's always been rumours in Leinster House that they maybe didn't get on as well as they put out there in the public face, but they did it for Brand Healey-Rae. There's also been questions about whether Danny is going to run at the next general election, and certainly there was a feeling that he wouldn't, that he would hand over to one of his children, Johnny or Maura, to take up that baton at the next general election. So that again adds another layer to this. Is there a new generation? And I thought it was interesting yesterday when Danny was contacted, and he said he wasn't going to do any interviews, but he was reached by the Irish Examiner yesterday and asked about the future. And he said, we Healey-Rae's here are working hard. Danny Johnny and Maura Healy Ray are all working very hard. I don't know what Michael and Jackie are doing, but I'm sure they're working hard as well. Uh-huh. And so there is this
split
down the middle of the family, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's move on to Cabinet now, because a couple of interesting things are happening at Cabinet today. The first one is this public warning system on mobile phones. So what is that? How will it work?
Yeah, it sounds very American, doesn't it? This idea that there would basically be a cell network text system to warn you of some major public event. We're thinking of the big storms when there's the red warning and the orange warning, and it would operate quite simply. You get a text on your phone if you're in an area or a county that's under a yellow warning or whatever else might be happening, that it goes broadcast straight out, and everyone who has a phone that's active in that area at the time would get that and be warned about the issue. It's going to Cabinet this morning looking for funding from Minister Patrick O'Donovan, and that the National Emergency Coordination Centre would effectively run this rather than, say, Met Éireann or any other body, all of whom I think had a want to control this particular system. But this early warning detection, I guess, coming in and should be in place, they're saying, by next year.
And the hopes as well, which will be mentioned at Cabinet today, that Ireland and Dublin might host the UEFA Women's Champions League final in 2029.
Yeah, the FAI had been looking at this as a potential bid, I suppose, for a little bit of time. Having hosted in Dublin the Europa League a couple of times already in, I think it was 2029, or 2029 is when this is going to be the Women's UEFA Champions League final. A couple of countries bidding for it. You've got Wales, you've got France, you've got Switzerland, but now the government is saying the FAI go ahead with this, what it looks like they will have full government backing when it comes to funding, when it comes to support and whatever else they need to get in ahead of that bid for deadlines, which is next week, that they'd hosted at the Aviva Stadium, which has that track record of finals, as I said, and that they think they have a pretty good chance of it being successful given the increased popularity of women and girls football in Ireland over the last few years.
Now, gender pay gap reporting in Ireland, and the Minister, Norma Foley, wants to make this mandatory. There's some objections to this, is there?
So basically, this is already mandatory to a degree if you're a company more than 50 people, and the companies have had to report that over the past few years, and people who are inside companies may have seen the emails or may have seen it on their website. The problem was they weren't necessarily all reporting it in to a central database and a publicly available database which the government had set up, and so now Norma Foley is bringing in this change in legislation that will make it mandatory for them to send that in, so it will be all published on a central register rather than, say, a company being able to publish on some obscure page of their own website that nobody ever actually sees. And there has been objections to this from different companies based on, you know, what sector they're in. Maybe there's obviously going to be a different bit of a split because of the employment trends in that particular sector may favour men or women or whatever else. But look, it is mandatory. It is going to be extended now. So we will all be able to see from November, not only the companies that have been voluntarily adding this onto the public register for the last few years, but every company who's forced to do it from November 1st.
Okay, and will parents who have children who are under school going age see a reduction in the fees that they're paying for childcare?
Some will, yes. So this is a new cap on basically on the maximum amount that childcare services can charge. So if you are someone who is in an area, most of them are in Dublin and the commuter belt, that is paying that sort of maximum fee that can be charged by childcare providers who have state funding. I think it's 295 per week at the minute. That is going to come down further. That's going to be announced around lunchtime today of a new cap and a further reduction. I haven't got an exact figure on what it's going to be worth to people. People in government have said it will be hundreds of euro a year for some families, again, who are already paying at the very highest level. But it's a pretty significant funding. So it's going to be 480 million for next year, for the academic year starting in September, across 4,600 early years providers. That's about 90 million more than was there last year. They did something similar last year, and it brought down the fees for those families, again, up at the higher end of about 10%. So we're looking something similar, if not a little bit more, 10 to 15% starting in September. And they're viewing it very much as another step on the road to that promise, the big election promise of 200 euro per child per month. But that still feels a very long way away, doesn't it?
Certainly does. Sean, thank you very much. That's Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent.
The The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.